This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us today on the show. Today we're going to be talking about one of the agencies who we have talked about before, but they kind of stay under the radar. But today I've got somebody who is not so under the radar in the studio with me. We're talking to the Central Intelligence Agency, and we're talking about their CIA University. Now, it's not a place that all of us can enroll in. You have to be at the CIA in order to go to the university, but they've got some unique things going on there. And I have the Chief Learning Officer, John Guyon. He's with us in the studio today. John, welcome.
Thank you, Derek. Glad to be here.
Hey, you know, CIA University, you hear that and you're kind of thinking about, what's that about? You know, and so in terms of kind of break that down, maybe the historical dynamic and everything else, what happened with CIA University? How did this start? Where is it going? What's the future?
Well, the CIA has always been committed to making sure that they have a well-developed workforce. But back after 9/11, we knew that our mission was going to be changing forever. We knew that we had a very important role after the terrible events on that date. And so in February of 2012, then Director George Tenet established the CIA University to really be a leader in helping to make sure that our employees are able to meet the mission. And so we have evolved greatly in the last 10 years. A lot of our activities have been constructed in order to be able to meet this evolving mission that we face. And we know that we still have a lot of activities and initiatives to take us forward in being able to meet the mission.
Right. You know, when people hear about the CIA, you know, people see all kind of movies and everything else. And so they hear about, you know, going to the farm and everything else. This is a different thing. This is more for people who have been in the agency for a long period of time. And then would you kind of say your mission is kind of a continuing education, or is it for the new people who are just coming in, or is it for both?
I'd actually say it's for both. Okay. So again, at CIA, when we bring in a very talented workforce, individuals who have a lot of diverse experiences, backgrounds, education. And so what we want to be able to do is we want to be able to tap into what they bring to the agency and help them develop their skill sets in order to do the specific roles that they're going to need to do as an agency officer. So from their very first day with the agency, we have a specific onboarding program for them to understand what it takes to work at the agency, how they need to operate across our different parts, what it means to be an agency officer. And then we take them through a variety of what we might call corporate or core training activities, as well as occupational or discipline type of training that helps them with their own specific tradecraft to help them meet their part of the mission. And then throughout their career, we try to make sure that we have integrated learning experiences so that they're able to work with other officers throughout the agency. And then even into the senior ranks, we make sure that officers are going through the management and leadership training that they need to be effective leaders in our organization.
So you've got a diversity of kind of, you know, classes and courses and everything else. I mean, if I had to kind of walk in and maybe take a look through your eyes, you know, because, you know, you're behind the sealed doors. If a person kind of walked into CIA University, is it like a college? Is it, I mean, are you set up in that same dynamic, or is it more kind of online learn? I mean, how is it set up that a person can maybe envision this?
Sure. So one of the things that I think is worth noting to begin with is CIA itself is somewhat like a college atmosphere. Mm, right. So we have officers who come to work for us who have to really live together with a common purpose and have shared experiences, and they have to learn from each other. They have to be able to tap into other officers to know how to do their jobs well. So in a similar situation you might have in a college campus, you have that type of camaraderie that comes with the workforce. And CIAU models that to some degree. So we don't have a single campus building where everybody goes for a certain program, but we make sure that we tap into that kind of college atmosphere. So as individuals are trying to develop to better meet the needs of the mission, they know they need to continue their education. They know they need to be able to hone their skills in order to be able to perform as well as they can. So whether it's a specific training class that they might go to or some type of working group that they may be a part of, they know that they have the opportunity to expand their skill sets in ways that are going to be able to meet our unique mission.
You know, you and we were just talking before the show, and you've been with the agency over 20 years, right?
That's right.
You've seen a lot of change in terms of maybe even the style of learning. If you had to kind of maybe go back from your initial days, and maybe if you can provide even some history about from the beginning up until now and what you've seen as changes with the agency in terms of learning and growth and lessons learned.
Sure.
You know, what have you seen from the past, and then where do you see you being chief learning officer now, where do you see do you want to go?
That's a great question, and it's very applicable to what we're working with at the CIA. Like a lot of organizations, we dealt with training in a very traditional way. You go to a classroom, you get your three-ring binder, you engage in certain class exercises, you move on from that training
right.
class, you go back and you do your job,
yeah.
and you apply what you learned. And there's some aspects of that certainly can be functional and beneficial. But what I'm really focusing on at the CIA right now is how do we meet the needs of our employees? And we need to think about what the workforce of today is. They have certain needs that have evolved over time. So we have a very dispersed workforce, obviously. We have employees who are facing a very high demand on their time.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have the luxuries of what we might have assumed in the past to simply be able to get out of work for a period of time,
right.
to go take a training class, and then come back. They need to be able to make sure that they have learning opportunities that meet their needs and their expectations. So how I see the training evolving at the CIA is it needs to be more accessible to employees. It needs to be able to meet their needs where they're at and in the manner that they need to be able to meet it.
So no matter where you are in the world, I mean, because, you know, your people are very much so internationally deployed. I mean, of course, you have a large body on the campus, but a lot of your people are all over the world. And so you need to make sure that those people can assess your learning programs without hindering their mission.
Yeah, accessibility is extremely important to us. That's one of the pillars that we have put forward is we need officers to be able to access our learning opportunities. So we're using online capabilities more. We're using what we call blended learning, facilitated learning, where you do not have to necessarily be in the classroom. We want to use technology in ways that meet the expectations of today's workforce.
Right.
So we're evolving in that way. We need to make sure that the content that we provide in our classes is current, that it's relevant to the needs of today's officers. So you mentioned lessons learned. It's very important for us to incorporate the lessons that we're learning throughout our training. And they need to be examples that our own employees can say, yes, I can relate to that. I can see how that would fit my situation. Even if it's not the exact same scenario, they can apply those lessons to what they need to be able to do to meet their mission today.
Right. Is that a big thing right now? Because, I mean, after 9/11, you know, and you mentioned at the CIA University, I'm assuming Director Tennant probably said that, you know, we need to have this kind of maybe more professional institution that will really look at the past, analyze those lessons, and then kind of start taking the best practices from those, put them into new lessons so that we can learn about dealing with future threats. Is that what the whole dynamic of CIA University is? I mean, I'm even thinking about your new director, you know, Director Petraeus. You know, he came out of the Army. He has a PhD and everything else. I mean, do you see that buy-in now? I mean, you know, over these past 10 years?
Absolutely. I see it now. I've seen it growing over time. CIA is absolutely committed to the development of our officers. It's not just a nice saying. It's critical for us to be able to meet our very important and unique mission. So absolutely. Our current director is a tremendous advocate of becoming a strong learning organization, having continuous education, continuous learning, being able to tap into those experiences that we've had so that our officers can benefit from it. One of the things we need to be able to make sure is all of that information is findable. It's not enough to just know that it exists. Our officers need to be able to find it. They need to be able to pull from it. They need to access the expertise that's behind it. So in any large organization, you know that expertise exists. You just may not know who it is. So one of the things that we need to be able to do is make sure that we have connected learning. A lot of people refer to social learning, but that sometimes blends into some different areas. But we need our officers to become connected with other officers who have that expertise to help them apply it to their role.
I'm going to hold you right there, John, because I want to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about the dynamic, because you mentioned something about experts, you know, and you know, sometimes people look at the CIA as like, you know, this is the body of four experts. But I want to kind of maybe think about it. You have this university, and, you know, is all the expertise in-house, or are you also looking outside to kind of say, is there expertise outside other places that our officers can learn from? I want to talk about what the thoughts are with CIA University as it comes to that. We're talking about CIA University, the Central Intelligence Agency. They have their own university. We're talking to the Chief Learning Officer, John Guyen. He's in studio with me right now. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
America's top show about planning for retirement is on 1500 AM WFED. Sunday mornings at 8, it's the Financial Safari. Each week, America's income planner, Coach Pete DeRuda, sits down with father-daughter duo from Northern Virginia, retirement planners Don and Jill O'Rourke from O'Rourke Asset Management. Sunday mornings at 8. It's the Financial Safari on 1500 AM WFED.
Get energized for another thrilling night of Navy men's basketball. See the Midshipmen Battle Colgate Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at Alumni Hall. It's Mascot Mayhem Night. Watch area mascots face off in an exciting halftime game. Tickets are $10 for adults. All boys and girls in scout uniforms get in for just $3, and Bill's Game Room opens at 5:30. Don't miss out. See Navy Men's Hoops versus Colgate Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. Order tickets today at NavySports.com or by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Meeting mission goals through IT modernization, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
The Interior Department will take another stab at moving its entire workforce to the cloud. Its last attempt last year got tangled up in a bid protest. A new request for proposals calls for secure cloud-based email, calendaring, instant messaging, video conferencing, and other collaboration tools. And Interior is planning a quick turnaround. The RFP calls for every mailbox in the department to be moved to the new service by December of this year. The department plans to award a contract by April 30th.
General Dynamics IT delivers the full strength of enterprise IT to drive innovation like infrastructure consolidation and modernization, cross-domain information sharing, cloud computing, Web 2.0, and a constant flow of new applications and IT services. General Dynamics IT helps government, military, and commercial organizations achieve new levels of productivity and mission effectiveness. General Dynamics IT brings together the expertise, technology, and best practices to deliver secure enterprise IT solutions. Go to gdit.com to learn more. That's gdit.com.
The Caps Kids Club, presented by Dasani, is where kids get in the game. Sign up your child for free, and you'll receive a monthly newsletter, access to interactive games, and the chance to win Caps prizes. Or pay just $15 and receive an exclusive membership kit with an Alex Ovechkin wall decal, invitations to member-only events, open skates at Kettler Capital's Iceplex, and much more. For more info and to join, visit the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCaps.com.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
what America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Fed Access. Today we're talking to CIA University. If you missed the first segment, you got to go back and take a listen to it. But we're talking about the Central Intelligence Agency, and they have their own CIA University. Having in studio with me, John Guyon. He is the Chief Learning Officer. John, am I pronouncing the last name right?
Yes, you
I
are.
Just want to make sure because I, you know, we don't want to get in trouble with the CIA. So, but he's the Chief Learning Officer at the Central Intelligence Agency University. John, on the previous segment, we were talking about expertise, and you know, the one thing that either there's two things: either people say you guys get it right and you got the expertise in house, or they will, if something goes wrong in the world, people will criticize the CIA. In terms of you, and you're looking at kind of learning and kind of making sure that your officers are prepared to make sure they get it right, do you think that all the expertise is in-house? Or, you know, are you also looking around and kind of say, you know, maybe there's a professor here, maybe there's a person here in this company who can teach us something? I mean, how do you go about that process?
Yeah, a couple points to make about that, Derek. We absolutely do take advantage of expertise that resides outside of our own agency. So if there's a particular issue that we need to bring in someone who has an expertise on that can help us, we do that. Sometimes we send our employees out. We encourage officers pursuing higher education, continuing education. We know that there's a lot of training that exists out there that there's no point in us duplicating in-house. We want to be good stewards of taxpayers' dollars. So if there's something that meets our needs outside, we want our officers to be able to take advantage of that. But another point I think that would be good to make with us, Derek, is that the word tradecraft is very important to us at the CIA. So our clandestine operations activities have tradecraft. Our analysts have a certain tradecraft, etc. Well, something that I've established within CIA University is we need to make sure that we have what I call learning tradecraft. And so in order to make sure that our experiences for our officers are high quality in taking advantage of best practices in learning, we work with a lot of external entities. So we have an external board of visitors. We tap into associations that bring forward best practices. And what we're trying to do is loop those practices into how we conduct our training. And we're finding a lot of great examples out there that we're able to apply. So we know that we can offer a lot to our employees and how to do some of the unique aspects of their jobs, but we want it to be as high of quality of training for them as well.
Now, I want to hit on two points because you brought up something I was going to touch on. I'm glad you did. You talked about tradecraft. A lot of people hear that term, and it's, you know, either you know it or you don't, you know, and if you could probably define it a little bit more for the listener who says, hey, listen, you know, what is tradecraft? And because with the CIA or intelligence, you always hear that term. But what does that mean?
Sure. So to me, one of the things to think about is, again, we bring in very well-educated, highly capable officers. But in our particular work, they didn't necessarily go to class for that type of work. So how do you go and get a foreign citizen to commit espionage? Mm. How do you write articles that get read by the president early in the morning? Right. That's our tradecraft.
Okay.
Those things that are unique to us that we need our officers to be able to do with the highest of quality, often sometimes in risky situations, that really is a craft. It's not always a clear cut, here's exactly sure. how you do it, but it's how we need to apply our skills to meet those mission pieces that, right. that are unique to the CIA.
This is years and years from the days of OSS kind of learning from all these things to now have this kind of tradecraft on how to do this stuff.
That's right. So a lot of times people, you know, learn about the CIA through movies and and other media sources. And a lot of people may say, oh, I know how they do that. I know how they do that. Well, it's nothing like actually being here. When you're working for the CIA, being able to be in the moment, being able to apply your tradecraft skills, learning from those who have come before you and those with whom you work to be able to have excellence in the way you do your business is absolutely exciting. And it's what makes being at the CIA so great. What we want to do from the university standpoint is be able to provide the means for the officers to develop those tradecraft skills so that they can perform their functions with full confidence and high quality.
Right. You know, I'm thinking about the agency, and I know when I met you, you have kind of served in every almost part of the agency to a degree. I think about the agency in three areas. You have that intelligence side, which are intelligence, you know, analysts and officers. You have the clandestine side of your case officers and people who are collecting. And then you have your support side. And I know you have served in a couple of them. With the CIA University, is your job to touch every single part of the agency and develop courses or curriculum that will help somebody who's a case officer, that will help somebody who's who's on a desk, who's a desk officer? Or will help a support person who's human resources or who's IT or whatever the case is. I mean, is that your job?
Sure. So to some degree, I serve in somewhat of a coordination role to make sure that we have all those opportunities available, but they're often executed in those very particular business areas you spoke of, whether it's the clandestine service, the Directorate of Intelligence, our Directorate of Science and Technology.
And
our Directorate of Support. And each of them have their particular tradecraft areas. So what I do is I want to make sure that those business areas have the ability to execute their training programs with their unique expertise. So I'm not going to go in and tell the NCS, here's how you train a case officer. Mm-hmm. They know it better than anybody else. Sure. But I need to make sure that they're part of an agency portfolio of training that is able to bring together not only that specific tradecraft they have, but the understanding of what it is to be an agency officer, how to integrate that training with other aspects of what we need to do at the agency so they know how to have their officers be able to work effectively with the analysts and vice versa, to take advantage of these different parts.
But are you in meetings with maybe the directors of those departments and they're telling you and they're saying, John, you know, we are looking at our department and we need this additional kind of training. Can you be the one to facilitate? I mean, you know, is it happening at that level of it?
Absolutely. And that leads to something that's really important for us is we need to make sure that we're looking at what our investments in learning are moving forward. So I use an analogy. We're kind of like portfolio management. If someone has the investments, they want to make sure they've got the right mix of investments in their portfolio so that it achieves the objectives that they want in the long term. Well, we need to do the same thing with our learning portfolio. And so it is a collaborative process across all parts of the agencies that we're constantly relooking at our portfolio. Do we have the right mix? Are we making the right investments in learning to be able to meet those emerging trends? So we know there's a lot of activity in the world going on that we need to be on top of. We have emerging threats and issues that we're constantly having to face. Well, we need to make sure that our training is keeping up with those emerging conditions. So we need to be able to take a look at our portfolio and rebalance it. And that's done through the collaboration of senior officers across the agency.
You know, you just mentioned something, and I probably want to go into it in a few minutes. Maybe we take a quick break. But I want to talk about a dynamic, you talk about emerging threats, and I'm seeing your role, and tell me if I'm correct or not, is that your role at the university is to look at the past and kind of learn from that, to look at the present and then kind of learn from that as well, but then very much so look at the future and then also unexpected threats and then also maybe teach a person to prepare themselves to deal with that future, you know, the unexpected, the unforeseen threats. Would you say that's correct?
Absolutely.
I want to talk about how the university is doing that, because that's a big piece to chew, you know, in terms of a whole dynamic. And how is CIA University dealing with that as a whole, you know, as its own institution, but looking across the agency? We'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking to John Guyon. He is the Chief Learning Officer at CIA University, Central Intelligence Agency's university, their place for what I'm calling lifelong learning and tradecraft learning, and also teaching their mission and their values. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Derek T. Deutsch on Fed Access on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Relive the buzzer beaters, dunks, and times shared with friends and family in buff and blue at the homecoming game versus St. Joseph's on Saturday, February 18th. Join Colonials legends including 2012 Hall of Fame inductees Chris Monroe and Shantae Rogers and alumni from across the country at the Charles E. Smith Center to reconnect with GW Athletics and enjoy Atlantic 10 basketball. Tickets are still on sale, so visit gwsports.com or call 202-994-7325 today.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Paul Gurman, managing partner and founder of Gurman & Company CPAs. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. To learn more about us, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
What is transformational leadership? How have government leaders successfully led transformations and what they considered before undertaking such initiatives? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these questions and much more with Bob Reisner, author of the recent IBM Center report, A Leader's Guide to Transformation on the Business of Government Hour.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Max out your privacy settings on social networks. Restrict as much as you can what people can see of you. Close all your old accounts. Chances are it's got an email that you've reused. They could guess the maiden name of your mother or your first pet or something.
Yeah.
A lot of the celebrities whose email accounts were hacked, their challenge question was something that you could look up on the internet.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
On Valentine's Day, you might be thinking about how you'll give that special kiss to a loved one. But did you know scientists are actually studying the process? Understanding a kiss, from the biochemistry to the mechanics, may help advance technologies in areas like virtual reality, medicine, and robotics, says Cheryl Kirschenbaum of the University of Texas. She wrote a book called The Science of Kissing.
Especially in robotics, engineers are interested in mirroring some of those effects.
For example, one study showed that no matter what hand we prefer when kissing,
two-thirds of us tilt our heads to the right.
And she says now Japanese researchers have created a device that transmits kisses over the internet.
Whatever they were doing with their mouths were supposed to be simulated at the other end.
So one day you might not even need to be with your Valentine to exchange a kiss. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Derek T. Deutsch on Fed Access. Today, we are talking to the Central Intelligence Agency, and we're talking to the CIA University. If you hadn't heard the first couple of segments, then you definitely need to listen to them, because CIA has their own university where they're working with their analysts, they're working with their support people, they're working with their scientists and technologists, they're working with their clandestine officers in order to continually teach them new things, to keep them up to date on what's going on. We have the chief learning officer in studio here, John Guyant. John, I was kind of prefacing the last segment and kind of saying about these upcoming threats, or kind of looking at your broad mission. How do you deal with, you know, looking at the past, looking at the present, and then looking at the future and unexpected threats as it relates to a university dynamic?
Absolutely. So it's important for us to make sure that we have the following mindset. We need to be able to train as we operate and operate as we train. Mm-hmm. And so in our world, we know that we need to be able to meet today's mission, today's threats, today's conditions. But we also know that the world is going to be very different mm-hmm. 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 1 year from now. So we need to make sure that our officers are prepared for today as well as into the future. And so the way we do that is we need to make sure that they have those underlying skill sets. Again, tradecraft is how we look at this. They need to be able to apply their skill sets under whatever conditions they may need to face. So we have a very extensive program for our analysts, for instance, so that they know how to appropriately research and consider all different types of options and to write in such a way that policymakers can make sound decisions. But we know that the conditions they may need to be addressing are going to change in the future, and they need to apply those skills, whatever those conditions may be. But another word comes into play here, and that's agility. We need to make sure that our officers have critical thinking skills. They need to be able to be agile in their work so that they can adapt to those needs. We can't have, our nation cannot afford to have our officers stuck in a given mindset. And so, again, I just think it's what makes us so great is we bring in people with all these diverse backgrounds and skills, and then they can apply it in so many different ways.
Well, you just mentioned something in terms of being stuck, and I think some people have thought about government and maybe thought about maybe some intelligence agencies at one point in time, especially pre-9/11, about maybe being stuck in a certain mindset. I mean, you know, you've kind of seen the transition. Do you think that was maybe a case before, and now the mindset has definitely changed, that, hey, listen, we don't necessarily know, you know, where we were maybe in a Cold War stance and we kind of knew the enemy. You know, we kind of knew that Russia was our enemy. We knew certain things. But now the world has changed so much and there's always a certain conflict. Have you seen that change throughout?
So certainly the way that we operate needs to be able to adapt forward, and we have seen changes. How we're organizationally structured has had to respond. How we invest our resources has certainly changed. And along those lines comes that change in mindset. I would say we've always prided ourselves in being able to meet whatever mission may come along. Mm-hmm. So we take advantage of the talents that our officers bring. But most certainly we know that we have a much broader portfolio to deal with than we did 20 years ago. Sure. And so we know that the learning has to keep up with that. We need to be able to provide the opportunities for our officers to develop themselves to meet whatever the emerging trends are.
And with that emerging trend, you know, if you see, you know, at one point in time, certain languages were okay. Well, you know, and then, you know, say, for instance, at one point in time, maybe Farsi may not have been as important. Now Farsi is very important. Are you kind of one of the people who was looking at that, maybe looking at a place that, you know, hasn't been on the radar screen, but now it's like, or a language that hadn't been on the radar screen, and now everyone's talking and saying, we need to get that language on board, and we need to put this in the CIA University portfolio of classes to begin. Is that part of the process?
Absolutely. So it gets back to that word, agility. Okay. We need to be able to have the agility to be able to move with where the emerging demands are. So we have a very significant language program as part of our learning enterprise, and it does teach those languages that are most critical in us meeting our mission and in our deployed workforce. The tricky part is, okay, if you see something coming, how quickly can you adapt to that? So a lot of times what we have to do is we take advantage, again, of resources and capabilities outside of the agency. Right. So that's one way for us to provide flexibility. But in all things, we know that we're going to have the unexpected. That's the only thing we know is the unexpected is sure. coming. So that gets built into how we develop our programs from the ground up.
So is the agency, and maybe you have to kind of tell me, is the agency kind of moving to a dynamic of more career? I mean, because, you know, that's what universities are. Universities are built to enhance your career. You know, you get either a graduate degree or whatever the case is. Is that where the agency is going in terms of saying, listen, we want you, if you come in one way, you know, you don't have to stay that, you know, you may come in as an analyst, but maybe you want to be a senior supervisor one day. The CIA University can maybe help you with that in terms of giving you the courses that you need and the career development that you need. Is that the case? Is that what we're looking at?
Absolutely. And that's really one of the greatest things about working at the CIA is the plethora of opportunities that lie before you. Most of our senior officers at the agency have gone through a very diverse set of experiences in their to get to their current position. And we know that learning is key to being able to help someone have that broadening experience and to help them with the development. So with us, it's not just this is good for the employee, this helps them. It certainly is, but it's also really important for the mission because we have such a diverse set of requirements that we need to meet. Like we talked about before, 20 years ago, the agency's mission was more focused in a given area than it is today. Well, we need to be able to have officers who see how they're integrated with various parts of the agency, who can apply their tradecraft in evolving mission needs. And so as they're broadening,
that may be new, though, right? That may be kind of a new mindset of that I need to talk to support people more. I need to talk to the technology people more.
That's absolutely right. So integration is just so important that you can see how you fit within the agency and how you can take advantage of the other functions and skills that exist elsewhere. So that is an evolving path for us is to be able to have officers have those experiences. And so we know that learning takes place in a lot of different ways, certainly in the classroom. That's one area, formal training. Sure. But it also takes place through growth assignments, through experiences, by networking with others. And that's all part of the learning picture for us as well.
Right. With what you're doing right now, and you have to kind of tell me, will people come to CIA University and then they'll leave out with either a certificate? You know, I mean, you know, there's certain schools that the government has already kind of developed, whether it be National Defense University, the National Defense Intelligence, I think I may be right, the National Intelligence University, I think NIU now, and Army War Colleges or whatever the case is. Are you forming CIA University in a similar fashion where you can come to CIA University and then leave out either with a certificate or maybe a graduate degree or something like that?
So we are a non-degree granting university. Sure. We use the term university to help emphasize to our workforce the importance of continuing education and the development of their skills. We don't grant degrees, but in our given occupational areas, we do have very rigorous programs mm-hmm. that are defined in terms of the learning objectives that an officer will be able to achieve by the time they leave the program. It's for a defined period of time, et cetera. And when they leave that, they may have a certification for that occupational area, but we don't offer a degree per se. But one of the things that we are looking at is how might we be able to have our coursework at a standardized level that does not necessarily grant degrees, but would be able to have a recognition for the level of work that our officers go through in these programs. We offer courses for our employees that are very clearly at the master's degree sure. level. So while we wouldn't be offering degrees necessarily, it is important for our officers to get that level of education from us.
And part of that is also, you know, for a person, for their mindset, you know, you want to say, listen, you've achieved this and you know, this has either this number of credits or this has this and maybe a certificate that they can hang on their wall that comes from is that where you're trying to go with it to a degree?
Possibly. So we're exploring different scenarios and so forth. But one of the key pieces is again for our employees to be able to see they've got something that they can actually make use of from that training. The relevance of the training, the high quality of it, all goes to that, I believe.
Right. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more about the Central Intelligence Agency's university, their CIA university. We're talking to the Chief Learning Officer, John Guyant, and we're kind of breaking this whole thing down and seeing where CIA is going to be going with the university. When we come back, we'll be talking about the future of what CIA University plans to do as John Guyant. John, you just took over this position, right?
Actually, been in the position. It will be 2 years come the end of this month. So
you're not completely new.
Somewhat.
We'll talk about the future of CIA University as we go into the fourth segment. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
On the move but need your CAPS info? CAPS Mobile lets you use your mobile phone to stay connected to the CAPS. Receive breaking news and special offers by text message. Check live scores and stats with a CAPS Mobile app. Enter Text to Win contest for great CAPS prices and much more. To join the CAPS Mobile Club, text CAPS to 43803 now. For more info on all CAPS Mobile offerings, visit the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCAPS.com. Stay CAPS connected with CAPS Mobile.
Powered by the latest second-generation Intel Xeon processors, new HP ProLiant G7 servers are a perfect high-speed solution for lowering costs, improving utilization, and reducing server sprawl. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how together they can power your data center into the future. Talk to GovConnection's experienced federal sales team, where service and commitment to the customer are priority one. Call 800-800-0019 today. If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7000.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
"Virtualization abstracts the operating system and the data from the device. It provides a certain amount of agility and flexibility from a technological standpoint. Using virtualization and virtual desktop infrastructure to liberate the data from the endpoint device and bring it into the private cloud, that's key. The data in particular, it provides so much more flexibility for multiple devices to be mobile and geographically disparate and still have access to that data."
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
Dude, check out my new Pioneer DEH44 car stereo with built-in HD radio technology and new HD2 HD3 channels.
HD2 HD3 channels?
Get with it, man. HD2 HD3 channels are all these new free digital radio channels.
How do I listen to them?
With the new Pioneer DEH44 HD radio receiver. It's only $120 at Walmart.
Walmart? That's cool.
Yeah, just go to hdradio.com and check out the station guide. They're adding new channels all the time.
Learn about HD radio technology at hdradio.com. More radio, more value.
Hey, everybody. It's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
On Sunday, February 19th, Martha Washington's going to be in the house. She's going to tell us about all the tasty treats going on in Mount Vernon. And it'll be a little sticky with Doran Peterson from Sticky Fingers.
I can't wait to meet Martha. That's Foodie and the Beast next Sunday and every Sunday live right here on 1500 and 820 a.m. at 11.
With a $1.2 trillion cut to federal spending expected over the next decade, agencies need to consider more than individual programs. They have to dramatically change the way they do business. Join AFSCEA Bethesda February 24th at the Bethesda North Marriott for its annual federal budget preview. As a distinguished panel of CIOs, including Richard Spires, Roger Baker, Chris Smith, and Rob Carey, discuss what technologies and initiatives will continue to drive IT spending in 2013. Register today at afsceabethesda.org/febbreakfast.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. Today we are talking about the Central Intelligence Agency, and we're talking about a unique component of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA University. I'm looking at the business card right now, and they have under their missions, values, and tradecraft, the three different things that they hone in on. And we're talking to the Chief Learning Officer. He is John Guyon. He's been with the agency for some 20-something years and has kind of seen all the different aspects of the agency, so he knows it well. John, you know, we've kind of talked about the agency and what's it been doing. You know, I kind of even want to even break this down before we go into the future. What, as you look at some of your courses and you know, this thing being developed, what do you see, and maybe you can give me this or not, but what do you see as some of the top courses that either you offer or some of the favorite courses, whether it be a support course or an intel course, some of the favorite courses that you see people kind of going into?
Sure. So one area that may not come to mind as quickly as some people may think about is our leadership development.
Okay.
So it's really important that our workforce has strong leadership skills. And that's not necessarily if they're in a management position or a high grade position, but we want all of our officers to be able to demonstrate leadership throughout their careers, being able to help influence and motivate those around them to achieve excellence. That's extremely important to us. And leadership can, of course, come in so many different ways. So we have some specific programs for all levels of our workforce, newer employees, all the way to our seventh floor, most senior executive officers. And so that's an area that has a lot of popularity and a lot of importance to us. Certainly in those different tradecraft areas, we have programs that are true hallmark programs for us. So we have a career analyst program for analysts that are going to be serving in the agency. They go through that very early in their career, and it is an absolutely outstanding program that helps them not only hone some specific skills that they need to do the job, but really be able to know how to take advantage of the various resources and capabilities that are available to them. In our clandestine service field, we have officers that go through a very rigorous, important program that is going to be able to test them in a lot of ways before they're actually placed into field assignments. Mm-hmm. And they're able to experience things to include failure, mm-hmm. to understand what it's like to fail yeah. before they're put into that so-called real-world experience. Right. And those are just a couple of the examples, but we have programs from each of the different areas of the agency that have really developed hallmark characteristics that get a lot of popularity.
Can a person who, and I know we've talked about kind of the career development, but can a person who is in one segment of the agency, you know, look at maybe the portfolio of classes and it may be in a complete other area outside of their, you know, job. Can they, you know, with the university, is there room, is there latitude for them to say, you know what, I just want to kind of get a sense of these other areas and, you know, I want to experience that Maybe I want to switch. Does CIA University provide that opportunity where you can kind of look at other areas?
Absolutely. We certainly want our officers to be able to ground themselves with a certain level of fundamental skill sets. And so our training is there to help accomplish that. But as officers develop that fundamental skill set, they'll see a great opportunity of other courses that not only show them where else they might be able to go in the agency and apply their skills, but even in the jobs that they're doing, because we're no longer just thinking of ourselves in a particular unique discipline. We see how we're integrated. We see how we need to be able to pull our skills together with other functions. And so that broad set of courses do two things. It helps the officer meet the mission that they're doing today because of that portfolio of activity, but it also allows them to be, if you will, developed competitively to consider other possibilities in the agency. We certainly have a lot of employees that have had long careers with us, many longer than I have. And they've had, if you will, somewhat of many careers, M-I-N-I careers, mm-hmm. in their own path that they never had expected before. Right. But because they had a certain assignment or they had a certain training class, it opened up the world of possibilities for them to apply their skills in other areas.
Right. You know, as I'm thinking, we're at a unique time where the government is facing, you know, serious kind of budget situations. And you're hearing across the whole government that everybody's facing budget cuts and everything else. A lot of times when budget cuts happen, a lot of training and development sometimes go by the wayside, you know, and that's kind of one of the areas of, that's more of kind of soft skilled stuff, and we may put that aside. As you look at it, and as we look at kind of the dynamic of a new world of government that may have less money, you know, how are you trying to face that challenge of a budget crisis?
Sure. There's never an easy answer, of course, in facing that. But one of the mindsets that I think is important for us is if we're doing things smartly, efficiently, effectively, we don't have to grow to large degrees. Okay. We should be able to do things better than we did in the past. We should be able to take advantage of technology. We should be able to take advantage of integrated learning opportunities. We should be able to take advantage of learning outside of the classroom. And while there may be some initial investments that go with that, we should be able to see a return on that pays for itself in time, that says this is actually now going to be able to help us be more efficient and I believe more cost effective along the way.
As you look towards the future of CIA University and you look at maybe the Director Petraeus mandate and everything else, and you kind of look at the future threats and everything else, where do you see CIA University going?
Sure. I think we need to be a key engine that helps drive the agency to become an effective learning organization. And so while we have a piece of that, we don't have all of it. We need to make sure that the leadership, management, employees all see how they have both a need to apply learning to meet the mission, as well as the opportunity to really be a part of helping others take advantage of learning opportunities. And that really needs to be that mindset going forward as an effective learning organization.
Have you seen, in the past 10 years, have you seen a growth or, and maybe when things first started, maybe it was slow kind of getting traction on it, but have you seen, and I don't know, I'm asking, have you seen a growth in terms of the interest in CIA University? Have you seen that amongst the employees?
Absolutely. There is certainly a growing demand for the training we offer. But one of the things that I think that we're moving forward with that is so important to us is not putting learning at odds with meeting the mission. Again, we have a workforce that is facing a lot of competing demands. And often with our can-do attitude, we look at, okay, do I take a training class or do I accomplish what the bosses need me to get done? Guess which one often wins.
Sure.
But the mindset we should have is, let's not put those at odds with each other. In order to meet the mission, you have to develop yourself, both for the now and in the future. And I do see that evolving. I think I see our workforce understanding the importance of the investment and development that will lead to them being able to accomplish what they need to.
I think on that note, John, I think we can close it up because you just said it just right. your true sign of success right there. We've been talking about the CIA University. We've been talking to John Guyon. He's the chief learning officer of the CIA University. And we'll be talking to CIA further on throughout the year about a lot of the interesting things that they are doing in terms of, you know, a continuous growth of their mission and continuous learning and everything else. John, thank you so much for coming on Fed Access.
Thank you, Derek. Very glad to be here today with you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFPD. Your source for federal news now.